Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. Hello to our little corner of the world, internet, the podcast landscape.
Yes, yes. Corners in many countries.
Well, seriously?
Yes.
Apart from Australia, who's next cab off the rank in terms of most amount of listens?
Oh, you've put me on the spot. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, but you're good
Google
with
Analytics.
I know, but you're pretty. You're close. Stats gal.
I stalk a lot of things. I think maybe
America,
Europe, and then the US.
Yeah, right.
I think there's a few peeps in London that may have carried on. Shout out to you guys that have carried on.
Oh, yeah, that have expats.
Maybe listened, yeah.
Not just that, but remember we had a bit of a following. When I say following, I mean one person in Zimbabwe. Remember our friends?
Oh, wasn't it Botswana?
Oh, Botswana. Yeah. Is it Nisha? I can't remember. She would always watch our Friday Facebook Lives that we used to do.
She may have been a Kiss fan rather than a Thinker Girls
FM,
fan.
Kiss FM, the radio show,
do you think? This is a pod channel where we drop different shows different days of each week. Today you have landed on the 411, a pop culture show where we talk about things going across the world or moving across the world, moving across people's headlines and computers that we are legit interested in.
Yeah, we're not going to pretend that we give two fucks about the biggest story just because it's the biggest story.
We have some we have some housekeeping to do at the beginning of this show.
Yes,
though.
As always, we have announced that we are hitting the road, Jack. We are doing a national Thinker Girls live tour. We are going to Brizzy, Adelaide, Melbourne, and Sydney. The dates are in December. It's the second and the third weekend of December. Friday the 7th at Adelaide, Holden Street Theatre. Saturday the 8th, Melbourne. Alex Theatre, Friday the 14th of December at the Powerhouse in Brizzy, and Saturday the 15th of December to cap it all off, the Giant Dwarf in Sydney.
Oh yeah, we'll be home for Christmas. If you, whatever you call home, if you are thinking about doing a catch up with friends, maybe it's something that you can do for a point of difference, have a drink. Well, there'll be two ticket options, a GA option, and there'll be a meet and greet option, which will be slightly more expensive. And that's the time where you could get your photo taken, have a one-on-one chat with us before the show.
That is for sure. Tickets go on sale this coming Monday,
Monday the 22nd. Yeah.
Get on board from 9 a.m. We are going to chuck everything up across our socials. Thethinkergirls.com.au is where you can click through to get the ticket link through to your venue, wherever abouts in Australia.
But our website is the place to be, where you will get redirected to where you want to go. It's a big banner. The second you get there, it'll say announce national tour. Click on tickets.
We're excited to get out there and do a bit of a different live show than we've done before.
Well,
it's been a live podcast, and we're not doing that this year. So if you think, I can't get there, or I'll just listen to it as a podcast, sorry, you won't be able to. This is actually for the people that are paying, that are coming to the show.
Yeah.
It is a live show. Not so much a podcast recording as we've done previously.
It is. So you'll need to come to see it, and if not, you'll have to wait for the next show, won't you? Today's 411, I want to talk about the very sad news that Cosmopolitan Australia is no longer. It's very personal for us. I particularly feel like I'm a part of the Cosmo family. We've become friends with many of the girls and guys that work under that brand. And it's an interesting day for very few styles of female-driven content in a particular way that I think a lot of us have learnt from, laughed with, and gotten very comfortable with. It seems like that style is getting less and less. Like it's kind of being brushed right into the corner. Yeah.
I want to talk about Spice Girls and why the reunion tour is not happening.
What? were you one of these people that thought it would?
Yeah. There have been a number of false starts when it comes to the Spice Girls reunion, right?
Well,
I'm telling you, babes, over the years, and in particular in February, which was the first time that every single member of the Spice Girls had been photographed together since early 2008. So there are a lot of people, right, that over years, I think, you know, when you want something so bad to happen, mm-hmm. and this is so many people around the world that would be like, oh, could it happen? Could we get back together? Could there be a 10-year reunion tour? I think the more you want something to happen, the more you see something, whether it be a photo of them together, and you go, this is it, because you want to believe it so badly that you tell yourself that it could be more of a possibility than in actuality it is.
I'm very much on board the Spice Girls. It was, in fact, it was my heyday. Like, it's like teens for me. And I just didn't get that excited. Did you see them at the London Olympics?
Yeah, they weren't great.
No.
That was the one of the last times that they performed together.
And that should be the last, because they are all different and it's time to just, it was what it was.
Wait, are you sitting there across the table from me saying that you do not think the Spice Girls should do a 10-year reunion tour? Is that your advice? You're like, just nah, stick to what you're doing, girls. Like, are you genuinely thinking that if the Spice Girls were standing in front of you going, I want your honest opinion, Stace, do you reckon we should get together for one last time and do a bit of a tour? Are you saying nah?
So as advisor to them and their all individual brands, is that what you're asking
me? No, just in your heart of hearts as a girl that grew up watching them also. Not just did it as an advisor, but if they did a tour, would you be like, oh, that's shit, I'm not going?
So as a girl, a young girl, of course you don't think of it as an advisor because you're not a grown-up boss bitch, are you? But as a grown-up advisor boss bitch, I would say don't do it. As a young girl, I'd be like, of course do it, and then I'd walk away being an adult who used to be a girl very disappointed because it isn't the same. Like, they are, like, I'm not the same for starters. I'm not 13, so my eyes aren't rose colored. And then I don't know. I think, well, then again, it would be pretty fun. I'd much prefer to go to a Spice Girls night. So say they played Spice Girls all night on the dance floor. It was like mixed in with, like, because you just want to go and hear the music.
But hang on, are you actually mental? Like, were you saying that you would prefer to go to a place where they play Spice Girls on a CD as opposed to seeing them in real life?
Oh, CD. Would you prefer? You're working in the club.
Yeah, no, Spotify playlist, whatever.
That's right. But I think, yes.
You prefer that.
So I've got to tell you a secret. No, but I've got to tell you a secret. And my friend is going to kill me for sharing this. But he and I are ginormous Kylie Minogue fans, as we, you know, most people.
You're more than fans. You're like diehard. She is your blood.
Idols. Yeah. You know, she's an idol. But there have been times where we've said at some particular shows, maybe they would have been the second nights we've gone, so the first night kind of adrenaline has gone, where there's been a couple shows where she's had amazing DJs at the beginning of her concerts.
Yes.
And we've gone, imagine this in a show.
So what do you mean?
So like mixing all of her songs and doing them in these cool kind of remixes and having the same crowd there, but then it's just some form of massive dance party.
But as a Kylie freak, you would think that that would be better than seeing her in real life perform, you reckon?
Better, but I definitely, if I go to that level, I really love kind of housey big party where I can just dance and whatever. Sometimes you'll get, with any performance and anyone you love, anyone, you're like, oh, this song again. I don't want to hear Locomotion. Fuck off. I don't care that you do it with a brass band now and it's slower.
God, this is big. This is big for you.
But that's what I'm trying to tell you. So it's not like I can also have, I don't know, I just fucking grew up all of a sudden. I'm like, I know what I like. And I know I've gone into things and I'm like, I just sometimes want to go out and fucking dance.
I am
GA fucking Rat Pack. I can't move.
I am buying hardcore into the hype that has been the last few years, and this year in particular. I think that it was the fact that their last performance that they did together as the Spice Girls was 2008. So I think there are a lot of people looking around the 10-year mark going, they've got to do a 10-year reunion tour.
They also mime. That, so it's not like it's a live performance anyway.
Well, I would still go. I would still, but just like as somebody that goes to, yes, It's somewhere that would, like, if I was in Vegas, I'd be going to a Britney Spears show. You know what I mean? Knowing
yeah,
that she doesn't
different.
Seem like, how is that possible? How is Britney different to the Spice Girls?
No, a Vegas show is different. I would go to see the Spice Girls in Vegas for sure.
What's, you can't, what are all these different rules? You're like, I would, but no. But this I would. I think you either want it to happen or you don't you?
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm just not that simple.
Okay, so I would definitely be buying in like an absolute dickhead to the hype, because I am just, and it's a different take because you're going, it's sad that it's not what it used to be. You know, that sense of like, I don't know, when you were younger and buying into that nostalgia, and there's part of you that when, that's why I end up in black holes in the internet when I see, you know, these clickbaity articles like of child stars with the headline, Macaulay Culkin does not look like this anymore. And there's part of you that clicks on it like a sicko to be like, how gross does he look now, or what's happened to his face? But then also part of you that feels really heartbroken and sad because you're like, you remember this time when life was easier and it was better,
same,
you know, like when you...
It's the same as friendships that you need to let go. Like, you know, those ones that you're like, remember when we were in high school and then we, you know, snuck out in year 10 or whatever, and then you're at 40 and you're looking across the room at this girl, a Christmas catch up, and you're like, I have nothing in common.
Because it's kind
with
of like that pop culture thing too, when you think of like a movie that you used to watch when you were a kid and then you watch it as an adult and you're like, this is shit.
Yes.
It's ruined
this
every kind of... I know, but I still...
That would happen.
But I still... You know
for
what?
$200 a pop.
I feel like the Spice Girls are big enough where the sadness wouldn't come in.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
I think for movies or other bits and pieces where you attach that, oh my God, we used to watch this Christmas movie when we were kids, and then, you know, you do it with your own kids down the track and you still feel this sense of sadness and nostalgia that you're not a child anymore and Christmas isn't magic. But then I feel like the Spice Girls are big enough that I would go with my sister, and we, because I just think so vividly about summers growing up with her, where we would grow up super tight, that we'd make up routines like running out in the sprinklers. You know how you remember memories,
you associate the sprinklers with the Spice Girls.
Memories as photos, and I have a photo in my brain, a series of photos that we are out in summer and running through the sprinklers in our backyard because we lived at the end of a court, so we had this triple backyard as kids, which was amazing. And we would pump the Spice Girls, and our friend Sky from next door would come over, and we would make up all these dance routines and have fights about who was what Spice Girl. And even though I was a brunette, so I probably should have been, you know, Mel B or Mel C. I never was because I was the oldest, so I got to say first that I was Baby Spice, which made no sense. But I just think of that time and I'm like, that is just such a time of innocence, and especially I think I associate with that with my sister.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I feel so fondly about it. That if I would go again with anybody, I wouldn't feel overcome with the sadness of, oh, that time, we're never going to get it back.
I think the FOMO would get my $200. Don't get me wrong. Do I suggest that they do it? No. But would I be the one sitting on the sideline saying I'm going to pass this? Probably not. But in high school, it's funny because everybody – we didn't get to be one in high school because it was in year 9 and there was a group of girls, five French – like girls – from across the year level, so they weren't in one friendship group, that must have done some performance at drama at the school assembly as the Spice Girls, right? So then they became the entire girls' school Spice Girls.
Oh, my God.
And everyone almost, like, couldn't be one because you weren't Baby. You were that girl at school. Say her name was Sarah. You weren't really Baby. It was like you wanted to be the Sarah. It took over the school. It was bizarre. And now I think back, we all love the music, but every single party – every single place we'd go, every assembly for the next 3 years.
There was the fake Spice Girls.
The
faux Australians.
The Ave Maria Spice Girls.
Oh, well, babes. I mean, because obviously this isn't going to happen, and you're going to froth the reason why when I tell you in a minute, because Bex has spoken to Australian Vogue.
I really want to also, sorry, but I really want to put up on our page
a photo
and
of that.
Expose the Ave Maria Spice.
Well, I was just about to say, because this shit isn't getting up with the legitties, so we may as well get the bloody faux Spice Girls to come in and do some kind of rendition.
And they were shocking.
as bad as the Spice Girls are actual singing.
Of course, Mel B was white because I went like in the suburbs of Melbourne. There was, I don't even know if there was
not much a racial diversity.
And they weren't in this group, so it was like it was bad. I think the most racial diverse was that she was Italian. It wasn't great, and they just none of them looked anything like.
Well, you didn't need to. I was Baby Spice.
Yeah, I think like, if I was honest, I probably would have chosen her too.
Yeah, just because she was the cutest one. Just like I decided I was Cameron Diaz in Charlie's Angels. It's like, no, bitch, you're much more like Lucy Liu, yet I still fought it. Anyway, let me tell you the reason why, because I don't talk around in circles about the nostalgia of this shit, but haven't actually told you why. The reason that the Spice Girls are never getting back together, you can look to one person and one person only, Victoria Beckham. Right. She has spoken
to... She's the smart one.
She's spoken to Australian Vogue, and she actually said, you can blame Sir Elton John as to why we're not getting back together. Ooh. How's this, right? She said that while they were touring the US in early 2008, so it's 10 years ago now, she was struck by the passion and enjoyment that Elton John still had for his songs that he would have sung time after time, year after year. And she said a couple of nights later after seeing him, we were on stage performing at the Madison Square Gardens as the Spice Girls. And she said, this is I quote her, she said, I almost feel like it's a waste to be given this opportunity. I appreciate the time I've had with the girls, but I don't have what Elton can have after all of these years. Mm. There's nothing else there other than the fact that my kids were in the audience and they wanted to see Mum as the Spice Girls. But she said, apart from that, I was done. Like, I'd reached a cap. So that's when I knew.
That's really brave to say that too, because
it was time to move on.
Think about the money she could make. Think about all the things that she could. I know she doesn't need any. Like, they're incredibly wealthy. But I just, you know, there's a lot of reasons that people would choose to do that that's quite selfish. I think in some ways that's kind of, you know, being the mature approach, and it doesn't mean it needs to be done. Just because it can be doesn't mean it should be.
Well, this is
furiously looking for.
I know. I can see you scroll around for the faux bloody Ave Maria Spice Girls.
I see it.
But I think ever since that photo was put up in February, and Bex was asked about that, she said, I had lunch with the Spice Girls, you know, earlier this year, and everybody was spiraling out of control, and I had my lawyer telling me that I had to beat down stories that were completely ludicrous. And I was reminded of how awful it was to be in that space.
Yeah, right.
Where people are constantly – and not just that, but the rumours that came out afterwards as to the reason why, because I feel like –
Then they say
the reason that the Spice Girls aren't getting back together. And remember when everyone was losing their fucking shit back in February when it was that first photo in 10 years that, you know, they'd bloody just gone out for lunch for a catch-up. And after that, there were rumours as to why that the band wasn't getting back together, and everybody was pointing their finger at Victoria Beckham.
Mm.
And I don't know about you, or this is just me that thinks this, but for some reason I always feel like Mel B, i.e. Scary Spice, is more the one out of anybody driving to get everybody back together. Do you ever feel that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because she's more vocal around, I don't know whether it's just we see more of her in the Aussie media.
Have you watched a lot of the, if you go, you can get into a pretty hardcore Google hole if you start to watch the interviews about what happened between Jerry and Mel B.
No.
So when Jerry left, Mel B and Jerry were incredibly close.
Yeah.
They were like the besties of, everyone had their probably yeah, their yeah, version yeah, of yeah. besties. And Jerry left without telling Mel B because she just felt like she couldn't. To make that decision,
yeah.
It would have been too loaded, and Mel B didn't speak to her, and it was really hard. And she was saying that that Jerry was like, it's, you know, you become such, and we can identify with that, of becoming such a one product.
Yes.
It's very hard to then think about yourself and what those
as
needs
an individual.
Are.
Yeah,
and she
yeah,
said
okay.
she needed to just separate to be able to figure that out. And but Mel B saw that as, you know, you can't do this to me. And Jerry was like, well, I have to remind you, we're separate people.
Yeah.
And I can. And it's not about you. It's about what I feel.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cosmopolitan, the Australian magazine yes. and online presence, so the digital brand of Cosmopolitan has closed as of today.
Yes.
So I'm not sure when they found out the news, you know, everybody in the office. We have some friends there, so I understand they didn't find out too much earlier than when we found out. And safe to say
as often happens gutted, with big things like that.
Gutted. Mm. You get an inkling. It was when I can remember that the CEO stopped looking at us in the eye.
Mm. And I when we're at KISS FM, you
yeah,
mean.
And all yeah. of a sudden afterwards I was like, he was always so friendly and we always got along, and then all of a sudden, like, sometimes we had to prep for our show and we couldn't get him out of our, like, our prep room.
And then that stopped incredibly suddenly.
Stopped, didn't yeah. it? And so I think there's things where you know things are turning, but it's very scary to admit and very, what's the point of starting to get paranoid about that stuff?
I think at the time you don't really realize, well, I didn't, you were probably a bit more onto it, but I would have been like, oh, he's probably just busy, or it's probably just a random thing we haven't seen him. But in hindsight,
it's a fuel of my anxiety, because I think I'm very hyper aware. And so then you are constantly having these, like, weird things at the back of your mind that you're not really trying to focus on, but you feel something. So then you're anxious and you don't really know why. Mm. Bizarre. So instincts and guts can actually also be quite hard. And
I was going to say it's a treasure but a curse, by the sound of it.
It is. And it's also, and I think even if you don't know, even if you're not that hyper aware, I guess I reckon subconsciously a lot of people are still sensing that there's something uneasy about the energy. Mm. And I reckon we're all walking home out of that energy or that office environment knowing without knowing we know. Mm. I do think that you can be hyper aware, but I think you can still be affected by it without you necessarily being aware. And it's a really awful place to be. Redundancies for anybody is a really yucky part, especially if you love your job and you're invested in it. In a way that some jobs don't require. And this, again, a lot of the people are creatives. I've got to say, really straight up front, publishing doesn't pay very well. No. You know, so a lot of these people were incredibly talented, incredibly invested in the brand as their own, and not, you know, on the outside, as we've tried to share on this show, the outside, everything seems very glossy, and Cosmopolitan is an incredibly strong brand, but behind the scenes, it seemed, you know, they started to lose a lot of their staff. So a lot of the staff had to take on several jobs. They were working their ass off. Mm. So whilst you could kind of see that it was starting to get smaller, the people that stayed there put more in.
Yeah,
and
to
that's
compensate.
Why today is devastating for them.
I think, what do you think it is about? Is it just the industry in general? Especially where we stand here now at 2018, it's incredibly uncertain and unsure, and that
I think media,
media in general, things are shifting, things are changing, people's spending habits. Like, you know, 10 years ago, buying, you know, a couple of magazines at, you know, $7 a pop would have been a really commonplace activity.
Yeah, if you put in your budget when you were 26 or 22.
Whereas these days, as we stand at 2018, I mean, we sit right in that target demographic of people that would be buying Cosmopolitan magazine or any magazine, to be honest. And if I'm really truthful, am I buying mags on the reg?
I think I got to say, you know, I changed. I think I people are looking for longer form content, and the way that the magazine was set up was that real old school mag style. You know, you've got this kind of pop size article, you've got these pictures, all that kind of stuff. Whereas I suppose now if you've got something in your hand, the long form article definitely, I think, because some magazines that have still lasted the distance are certainly those types of writers and articles are seem to be something people are still willing to invest in.
Well, I suppose it's a point of difference. It's a point of difference to the bite-sized stuff you're getting online. Is that what you mean?
I think so, because I think Cosmo was very, like, the style they do has very well been taken over by digital for that brand in particular. But what I want to say, which I have found sad about the way that media report media axes or failures or, you know, legal suits or all kinds of things. There's a particular couple of sites that I subscribe to that I get emailed probably more than once a day where headlines and things will come through so I can stay up to date. But it is really sad when you see other brands really use these opportunities
for clickbait
to just, and to be really incredibly insensitive. It's bizarre. But one of the bylines, you know, I've already spoken on this show, and I was saying to you before we recorded, I don't like the word axing. Like, you know, so it's everywhere. It's Cosmopolitan magazine axed. The Thinker Girls axed.
It's incredibly aggressive. And it was used in almost every single article that was about when our show ended.
I don't know if there's any need for it. I think it's a dramatization that's so, you can tell the story without the word. I don't really get it. Like, there was obviously a very considered business decision behind what they did. So to say that it's axed makes the people that have lost their job feel like a decision was made yesterday.
But I also understand that clickbaity, we need to be, I don't know, not insensitive, but just getting the most amount of fucking clicks and interaction on shit that we can. And it looks way more dramatic.
I think you can.
To say that word.
I think you can get a click that Cosmopolitan has closed and closed its doors for good, or find a few words that are not that. I really do think you can find a way. And if you don't have the team to be able to find a way, then get better writers. Like, I think it's lazy. So I do. I don't agree. I think there's ways for you to get the same result without being assholes. And this byline, again, made me cringe a bit. It says, in sad news today, the great Cosmopolitan is no more, with Bauer Bosses calling time on its sex tips and lippy choices.
Oh.
And I wanted to just say how much I resent that description of a brand that essentially has educated us women from the day dot. Mm. You know, Dolly was there as well, and there have been magazines that were the only way for women to be able to find any form of voice in sexual empowerment, in figuring out how to negotiate at work, in what to wear to job interviews. Real practical skill sets that I know have definitely helped me over the years be more of a formidable force as a woman and as a person that works in business and in relationships. And I just find it really, really offensive that the storylines will be put to the fact that that was really all they did. That's not true. It's not true at all. And the sealed sections were incredibly important, informative parts of our culture and the way that we got information. It was not our fault that we were not allowed to find it in conversation or with our mothers or with our friends or even with our partners, because it wasn't cultural in this country and in many countries for us to feel like we were able to identify as any form of sexual being. Hence the fact it needed to be fucking sealed, but at least it was somewhere to go. Mm. Like, how dare you kind of trivialize those lessons for us and put something like it was just such a shrug.
I think the issue, and we found that with ourselves, even trying to, I don't know, when we started the radio show, and I know I keep going back to that, but it's the way of relating to it, because we so often came up against that, oh, you're the sex girls. Yeah, you talk about the sex stuff. It's like, well, whilst that's a part of what we do, it's not all of it. But I think Because at the same time, was there sex, you know, that headline that you've just read, I agree, it's BS. But was Cosmo a place for sex tips? Yes. Was it a place for lipstick choices? Yes. But was that only a section of what they did over the decades that they had existed? I think that's the problem sometimes, where it's like you don't want to stand there and deny it all, because I think there was a place where we would get a bit defensive and be a bit like, well, that was when we first started, we did the sex stuff, we don't do that anymore. It's like, well, you just don't want to be boxed in by it being the sole purpose.
I think with Cosmo too, the sex stuff is really important that it is celebrated. You know, the sex stuff for us was a snippet of our brand. But in terms of Cosmopolitan, it goes back, you know, 10, 20 years where, like I was saying, sex wasn't discussed. So instead of looking at it like it was one part and then celebrating all of the other bits and pieces, I'm actually saying that the sex stuff ought to be celebrated, because that's actually where we got our education from.
Well, it makes it sound like a dirty thing, the way they've written it in that byline.
And I just think, God, we're in 2018. There's a lot of people that had a lot of benefit from that content. And today, when they close the doors and we think back to a very big brand and something that I suppose for a lot of us played a poignant part in our teens or in our 20s or whatever, that there's just better ways to tell a fucking story. Mm. There's just better ways to show respect to people that work there now and have worked in the past. And I just think people need to be a bit better.
I think especially people that work in media too. You know, there should almost be some kind of sense of camaraderie or more respect, knowing that you work in media and you're, you know, trying to support your own website or your own business. You know, by seeing another person within that same space fall on hard times and shit times, and knowing, you know what I mean, that your job could be just as replaceable or fall apart just as easily, it does seem a little bit, I don't know, it seems a bit more savage, because the people that are writing it are in a similar kind of game.
And I think you're right, I agree. And I think it's at a place where, because it is so... such a rocky time for the media industry. Everyone's turning on each other. You know, we're all trying to evolve. Everybody's trying to figure out where the voice is, where it sits, how you monetize it, how you create longevity, how you create good content. You know, everybody's trying to figure it out. And some people are going to take a hit. I don't know where we get so aggressive. Other industries don't turn on each other like this. Like, other industries all kind of see themselves as working in the same field, and you meet someone maybe in a medical field, or you meet somebody maybe in, I don't know, project management or whatever, and you almost have this camaraderie, whereas in media, everyone turns away from each other. Everybody tries to big someone up. It's fucked.
Do you think it's because it's more competitive? Like, there is this idea of like having to clamber to the top in a way. So it's like, oh, well, they've folded. We've got to be savage and write the most savage headline we can to get the most amount of clicks.
Well, I consider our brand and myself quite successful, and I don't feel like I've had to do that. You know, there's never been a time on our radio show or on this podcast or podcast channel or on any of the other shows I've worked on or commented on or wrote for that I've ever felt like I've needed to pull someone down to put myself up, ever. And I would consider myself a fairly successful person in the industry. I don't know, like, you know.
Who was I listening to the other day? Oh, I can't remember who it was now. But some big celeb that was in Australia, was it Joel Edgerton? I don't know. Don't quote me. I can't remember. But it was some A-lister talking about how savage Australian media, the false reporting, how savage the paparazzi is, even more so than other countries when they come here. And I think sometimes we live in this kind of microcosm where things are done a particular way, and that's always the way they have to be done without any kind of understanding that it doesn't have to be as savage. You know, we just all get a bit commonplace, and it's like any kind of relationship. If there's bad behavior or things are done a bit of a shit way, but that's the only way, you know, you kind of just come to expect that that's the way the media works. Oh, well, we'll just tear people to shreds, and you know, that's what I'm used to seeing on my news feed.
And that's but what I you found get with an industry that's predominantly ran by men.
Yeah, but I found it mega interesting that I was like, oh, Even as somebody that works and has worked in the media industry for most of my life in Australia, I never really had much of a concept that there was any kind of difference or more ferocity in our industry vis the media industry anywhere else in the world.
And I think even without having that measuring system of we're worse than in America or we're worse than the UK or whatever, I just think in all areas of our jobs or in all areas in our lives, there's just ways to be successful and make money without being an asshole. You just can come back to being a good person. I just don't get it. So Vale Cosmopolitan, congratulations to all of the things that you have taught us and given us. And thank you in particular to the team that is currently the Cosmo brand. You have been such big supporters of our show and what we do. And I'm sad that it ended before we really got to show our true colors of, you know, working together in the ways we all, I suppose, dreamed. Because, yeah, publishing's tough right now. And obviously a lot of our friends have lost their jobs. So, I don't know. Make sure that you go onto their page and let them know that you were a fan and that you loved them. And I'm sure those types of things helped. They certainly helped us when we had the carpet ripped under us. But as we know, you survive, you move on. And in the industry, you get fired and you're probably going to get fired again.
Savage. Well, but that's the way it is. Do you like this episode? You can rate it. You can subscribe to it. It helps us get the word out there because potentially there is maybe even a very good friend of yours that you froth this channel and they have no freaking idea that it exists.
Likely.
They have 6 years worth of podcasts to go back and listen to. So please pass it on, press subscribe and on your way.
Yes, our live show tickets go on sale Monday the 22nd of October. Head to thethinkergirls.com.au or there'll be a specific tickets link in our show notes. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like that podcast, there's heaps more where it came from. Go to thethinkergirls.com.au and go through all of our oldie apps.
Dare ya. This podcast is presented by Stacey June and Christy Mercer. It's also produced by me, Stacey June, and produced and edited by Jordan Lott.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.